All right, welcome everybody. It's Susanna here. And tonight I am chatting with the beautiful Belinda Davidson, the founder of School of the Modern Mystic. So excited to be doing something a little different. You know, I've interviewed Belinda a few times and tonight I thought, you know what, let's actually do a bit of a live Q&A, something a little interactive and something that involves more of the people. So big, big welcome to you all. Just some technicalities I want to go through with you. If for some reason we noticed Belinda and I were having a little bit of trouble hearing ourselves, so if you find that we're pausing for a little bit, it's just so each of our voices can kick in. Don't worry, you haven't fallen off the line. If for some reason, though, either myself or Belinda do fall off, stay with us. One of us will still be on the line and we'll keep talking until the other one joins us. But fingers crossed, everything should be all good. Mercury has gone direct again. and the other thing I want to let you know, throughout the call, we've got 60 minutes here together. And if you feel called to ask a question, just press star 2. Okay, and I'll be able to unmute you and you'll be able to join us. So with the technicalities out of the way, let me welcome Belinda. Hi, Belinda.
Hi, Susanna. Thank you for having me. I always look forward to having the opportunity to speak to you and your people. And it's 11:30 a.m. for me, so it's not late at night. So I'm sharp and ready to answer people's questions and to help them embrace their modern mysticness. So don't be shy. Press, what was it, star 2,
yeah,
Susanna?
Star 2.
Press star 2. Ask me what you want to know and I'll help you in all the ways I possibly can.
Yeah, awesome. And we've got like heaps of pre-submitted questions to get through too, which is where we're going to start things off, I reckon, tonight. That feels kind of a little fun and fresh. So, Belinda, my first question, one of the first ones that has come through is, and I love this one, it's, you know, something I talk about a lot, and I know this is something you talk about a lot, and particularly both being soul women. The question is from Kirsten, and it is, how do I stop my ego's answer getting in the way of my intuitive messages that I'm receiving, and how do I know which is which?
Great question. Juicy question and a wonderful question to start off tonight's tele-seminar with. Mindfulness is one of the most powerful practices to make us aware of when our ego is operating within us or when it's the voice of our intuition and our higher self. And I know that you're familiar with mindfulness, Susanna, and you teach mindfulness, so I assume that some of the people that are on the call tonight and listening to this call are familiar with mindfulness techniques and practices. Mindfulness simply means observing ourselves in all situations and seeing where we are aligned with ourselves or where we're operating out of fear. The ego operates out of fear. It operates out of fear of not being enough or fear of lack or fear of not being accepted. So when we practice mindfulness, we're aware of those feelings, or we become much more aware of those feelings. We start to get a sense of, oh, I'm not feeling good here. And when we start to get a sense of I'm not feeling good here, we start to see how we're attaching ourselves to circumstances. To know for sure if it's your intuition speaking or not, you have to be detached from the situation and from the outcome. When we are detached, when we are objective, we can receive accurate guidance and information. But if we're attached, so if we fear the information or fear the consequences of what that may mean for us, if we fear having to take action on what our intuition is telling us, we're projecting fear. And when we project fear, everything gets murky. So to answer your question, the more you can observe your ego through mindfulness practices, as well as working with your chakras and working with the white light, because they're the two spiritual practices that I advocate, the more you'll be able to see where is your ego operating and where are you attached and fearful. Being good at reading people's energy fields and being intuitive is a purely objective thing. When I read people's energy fields, I make sure that I'm being as objective as I possibly can before we even start the conversation. I do a brief chakra cleanse and make sure that I'm observing, because I know that if I'm attached in any way, so if my ego is operating, if I'm not aligned with my intuition, so if I'm fearing perhaps saying the wrong thing or fearing having to be too direct, or if I'm concerned about the outcome of the person, I'm not objective. If I'm not objective, I'm not intuitive. That's why I don't read friends and family. It's very difficult for me to tell my husband what I see in his energy field or my daughter. Why? Because I know that my ego attaches itself. I can get frightened of what I see around my daughter or husband, or I could wish it was different. I could perhaps be frightened of the consequences of what I see. So it's pure objectivity to know if it's the voice of your intuition or the voice of your ego. You need to observe your ego and see where it attaches itself. Does that make sense, Susanna?
Yeah, that was very, very clear for me. And I think the key components I pulled out is this not feeling good. And I want to dive into that a little bit, because I know sometimes there have been experiences that don't feel good to me in the moment, because I think sometimes mindfulness or presence can be elusive, or there can be this myth that it always feels good, and that's not necessarily the case. But the way that you're speaking of not feeling good is a little bit different to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not attached.
Yeah.
So when I said not feeling good, I meant that you're not invested in the outcome, or you're not attached to the outcome. So the reason that I don't like to read my friends and family is because I know I can't be objective. I love them. I have wishes and aspirations for them. And I also could fear if I see something about them. So I know that I'm not very good at being objective about them. When a person, though, when I have a person's voice on the telephone, I can be objective. I'm not attached. And I've been doing it for so long that I also no longer fear getting it wrong, you know, or I don't fear what comes through. I can be very precise and very attached, very detached. So what I meant by not feeling good is, if you're wanting to listen to your intuition, but it's murky, or it's feeling clouded, or you're not getting guidance, or you're hearing things that don't feel good to you, if you can feel from your solar plexus chakra is the third chakra, it's located at the stomach region, if you can feel in your solar plexus chakra a sense of attachment, a sense of clingy, or fear, hard to describe, but a sense of having your ego invested in the outcome, or needing a good session, or needing a good guidance to make you feel good, you're not being really able to hear what your intuition has to say. It's murky. It's not clear. So we need that clear-cut definition between ego and intuition. Also, your intuition, your soul, doesn't have much to say. You know, your soul is just going to say a few words to you, most probably. We think when we tap into our intuition that we're going to get, books, fulls of writings and channelings and information and communication, and that the world will open up for us and we'll get visions and be inundated by things. Actually, when our soul communicates to us, it's in the most direct, loving way possible, because it knows what to tell you right now for you to align with your soul and to create a positive change in your life. You know what I'm saying, Susanna? Like, it's not these long, drawn-out guidances and channels and information. The soul gets straight to the point in the most loving way possible. And sometimes it's one sentence, meditate more. Sometimes it's go to the beach more, or end that relationship. But it's short, succinct, loving and to the point, because the soul doesn't like to waffle around things. It wants to get right in there because it can see exactly what you need to do right now in your life to shift that area of your life that's not working for you.
Yeah, and I love that. And it reminds me also of a real, an experience I had recently. And it was, I'll just share kind of, it really briefly, but it was experiencing, it was a really painful period of my life and really unsure of what the hell happened. It was like crazy chaos. And, it hit me hard, physically, emotionally, mentally. I was, shocked, torn, confused. And, I felt compelled to get up in the middle of the night and dance. And as I was dancing, I'm literally being present through, God, so many emotions. And then there was like this space where I heard, it's time. This is how my soul usually comes to me, like, it's time. It doesn't really say anything more than that. And then met with the vision, and the vision was a bird flying. It was like leaving a cage. And I just knew the sign for me was, it's time to leave. Now, I was met instantly with my ego of, but there's so many amazing resources there and potential and so much money or whatever, connections. And it was that fear of thinking,
yes,
oh, my God, you don't think you could get this anywhere else? Where I went, booyah. Yes. I knew, it's like your ego also is, believe it or not, it's kind of wanting to replicate our soul voice, but it takes us in the opposite direction.
Yes. And that's it too. We desperately want to listen to our intuition. We want to be able to discern between what is the voice of fear, which is the voice of the ego, and what is the voice of love, which is the voice of the soul. But when we do get still and listen, and sometimes we have to get very, very, very present for it to happen, because usually in those times that we need intuition, it's when we're the most emotionally turbulent, isn't it? We're emotionally tumultuous because we're looking for direction. So it can take a while to actually get past the layers of fear and fear and fear and emotion to hit beingness or presence so that we can hear the voice of our soul. But then we have the difficulty and the struggle, like you experience, when our soul gives us that loving, clear direction, we then are frightened to act upon it because we think, goodness me, I'm going to lose everything, or how is this going to be? So it's struggle to even get in touch with their intuition, and then they struggle to follow their intuition because it's making you step forward in a direction that's unknown. And we fear that. Deepak Chopra talks a lot about the field of pure potentiality. One of my favorite books is called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. I think it's the best manifesting book out there for many reasons. But one of those reasons is he says that our soul always wants us to step into pure potentiality, to step into the field of the unknown. But that's exactly what the ego fears, isn't it, Susanna? Yeah. The unknown. The ego wants to replicate the same old stuff. It wants to keep us in the same box, in the same pattern, in that state. And trust, and it fears change. But the soul's the opposite. The soul wants us to move into the unknown. And when we move into the unknown, we reshape, we reprogram, we, recreate ourselves. So for me these days, because I read the Seven Spiritual Laws of Success and understand how the soul operates, when the soul leads me in an unexpected direction, I'm on the right track.
Hmm.
I know I'm stepping in with potentiality, and that's what happened to you. Your soul led you in an unknown direction. You acted on that, and that has, changed your life and freed you up from a lot of how you were feeling. So to get back to intuition, we struggle to tap in. But when we do tap in, the ego sabotages it because the soul is always going to say to you, step in. Come with me. Let me show you. that your life can be so much more magical, so much more breathtakingly beautiful than you can envision. Because we, through the eyes of the ego, are limited in what we can envision. But through the eyes of the soul, we're limitless. So actually, if your soul's asking you to take the unknown path, the pioneering path, follow it, because you're on the right track.
And that actually brings us right into this next question. And it is, you know, I find my clairaudience works well, but not so much my visual. What is the best way to develop this particular method of intuition?
Peak psychic ability means being clairvoyant. I understand that because when we say the word psychic, we immediately associate that with vision. We place a lot of emphasis on seeing, and we place not enough emphasis on feeling or hearing. Most people are clairsentient. They're not clairvoyant. I'm very clairvoyant, but I was really clairsentient and clair, I don't know, what's the one if you can hear well?
Clairaudience?
Clairaudience. Yeah, clairaudience. So for me, I mean, I had just sensory overload. You know, like I incarnated too psychic and it wasn't good for me. And I've had to learn how to live with that. And I don't wish that amount of psychic ability on anybody because it's intense and it was very difficult growing up. But I was born clairvoyant and clairsentient and clairaudient and clair everything else and whatever else that is. And I'm in my life to tone down the clair because I was so psychic and so tuned into how I felt, I pick up everything going around. So if I sat next to someone in my father's surgery, my father, a patient waiting to see him, and they had a broken leg, I would have the pain of a broken leg for hours afterwards. So that's being clairsentient. It's picking up. I mean, it was in an extreme form. So to get back to the question, most people are clairsentient, and when I teach people or train people in medical intuition or when people do my call, I say focus firstly on the senses that are most predominant with you. So the way that we receive psychic impressions, the way we pick up energy and information and know what's happening is through our five senses. We use all of our five senses to interpret. Most people can feel and sense before they can hear something and before they can see something. I always say to people, work on whatever sense is most prominent for you firstly. And with time, when you work on your chakras, you will become more clairvoyant. But for most people, they don't in order to pick up accurate information. They, you know, can use clairsentience. And I'd say about 85% of people who are working as intuitives are clairsentient.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Let me, Belinda, I'm just going to ask and kind of take a pause here and see if there's anybody that has a question and just remind them that if you do simply press *2, at any point in the time, and we will answer your question. Belinda, let's dive into some of these relationship questions that came through.
Sure.
Let's start with, one here. This is from Jasmine. And she says, why is celibacy sometimes perceived to be linked with enhancing spirituality? Does it have a place? Why or why not?
Celibacy has been some people's chosen path to spiritual enlightenment because it stops the biological urges and the sexual urges of the lower chakras and can balance them out. What that means is some people have chosen to be celibate for, well, two reasons, I think. I think some people have chosen to be celibate in the past to not procreate. You know, if you think about it, like back then they didn't have ways to stop babies being born. So I'm sure some people were choosing celibacy because they didn't want to get pregnant or bring children into the world. But people have also chosen celibacy because one of the problems that we have in society is being stuck in our lower chakras. So we have 12 chakras, and four of the lower chakras, so chakras 1, 2, 3, and 4, are related to the I, or the me, or our personal development. Once we reach the heart chakra and start to work with the heart chakra and the throat chakra, it no longer becomes about our journey. It's no longer about me or I. We start to open up and experience being one with other beings and, you know, one with the planet. And then we're here to serve and to give and to spread the love, and we're not so concerned with what we want and we are. As a society, we've become stuck in the lower chakras. Chakra one is about ensuring our survival on Earth. So if your chakra one isn't working properly, you can't ensure your survival. That means and you'll live from paycheck to paycheck. If your chakra one isn't working properly, it means that you won't feel good at your life, and you won't feel grounded here on Earth, and you will have difficulty connecting to a community or a family. There are issues pertaining to chakra one. The issues pertaining to chakra two are about wanting and getting what we desire in life, and the issues pertaining to chakra two are about expression. Some people that have chosen the route to celibacy have chosen it so that the lower chakras to get to the higher chakras. They're trying to bypass, you know, having to go through sex of procreation sake, which is a chakra one attribute. They're trying to get past the sex, the temptation, you know, how do I express myself sexually but not need sex to feel good. They're actually just trying to bypass those issues and get straight to the heart. They're saying, okay, well, I'm going to bypass chakra one and two. And for some people it works because it balances out the chakras. But you don't need to be celibate, you know, in order to spiritually develop. And I found with some of the people that I've worked with that have chosen celibacy, it actually stunts their growth. See, the reason some people, not all people, choose celibacy as a tool for spiritual growth is to bypass the temptations, like to get over the biological urge of chakra one and to get over, you know, craving or yearning for sex. So what they're doing is saying, I'm just going to jump up to the higher chakras and not deal with those issues. But sometimes it backfires on them. It has the opposite effect they are trying to get. And they are stunted in their growth. They actually get stunted in chakras one and two and can't develop. So that can choose celibacy as a tool for spiritual transformation. It works well for some, but I've also experienced that it doesn't work well for some.
And that brings me to the question, is there a difference between bypassing and transmuting?
Yeah, bypassing is I don't deal with it, and I'm trying to get to the higher chakras. And we are energetically designed for ascension. Ascension simply means that we are designed to spiritually evolve, and that is the path of the chakras. So we start off in chakra one, and in order to move to chakra two and evolve spiritually, we have to have balanced chakra one. So we get confronted with chakra one issues. We have to deal with it. And when that's working properly, the energy flows to chakra two. And when that energy is working properly, the energy enters chakra three. But we are created to come down as souls from the upper side and to experience Earth. So we drop down into the physical body that we have to get used to when we're babies, and we start on this journey. One to chakra two, to chakra three, to chakra four, to chakra five. And each stage in the journey, so every journey from one chakra to the next, we're evolving. We're becoming more of a soul in a human. We often forget we're a soul for a short period of time. So it's the journey back to love, we could call it, or the journey back to soul expression. If we bypass the chakra and don't actually do the work we're designed to do, the work that we need to do to evolve, we'd have to come back and do it again. And that was my example before with some people I've worked with that have chosen celibacy, but the chakra, which means they couldn't really get, they actually couldn't get to the higher chakras because they hadn't done the work in the lower ones. So you have to transmute it. You have to do the work. Otherwise, you'll be stunted in your growth and in your evolution. Not only that, areas of your life just don't work. Like each chakra looks after a certain aspect of your life. So, you know, the experience I've had with some people that have chosen, some people, it's the lack of joy. You know, joy and being able to experience what you desire in life and being able to really, you know, lose yourself in the moment and eat chocolate and savor it, you know, creamy yumminess is a chakra two attribute. And I've had the experience that some people that have shut down those chakras. So they may have let that sexual urge up. The chakra's actually imbalanced. They've cut it off. It's weak. They haven't done the work that it needs to be doing in chakra two. And they've also cut themselves off from joy. They don't feel alive and in the magic of life.
And Belinda, we're going to have a big laugh right now because I just got a message saying that everyone has not been able to hear us for the last half an hour because they were on hold. So everyone is on hold and they'll be hearing us. You and I have been having a gorgeous conversation together.
Oh, my God. Well, that's cool. I can just talk to you, Susanna. It was a great conversation too. What a shame.
Oh my God, it was so juicy. So everyone, a big welcome and thank you so much for hanging around. I'm glad someone was able to get through to me. I'm not 100% sure if the recording would have actually been able to pick up you and I talking. If not, all good. We will, just in case it doesn't, let me just say a big welcome to everybody. And by all means, if you want to ask a question, no, you simply just need to press star two. So far, Belinda and I covered a fair bit about, we were talking about the difference between soul voice and ego voice and how to actually distinguish the difference between those and the intuition, and how to also heighten your intuition, particularly the... which one did we talk about, Belinda? It wasn't clairaudience, it was the clairvoyance.
Clairvoyance, yeah.
Yeah. So we're deep in relationships right now and we're just going to continue on this particular topic. And oh my God, I love technology.
But Susanna and I have just been jiving to get past hour, and I was surprised that no one was asking questions. I mean, you know, like when I get on a call, I'm usually on the inundated with questions, Susanna. Like people want to ask me everything when they get the opportunity, and I was like, okay, well, you know, no one's asking any questions. That's cool. I'll just keep doing my thing. But now I know that
And I kind of kept wondering why everyone kept dropping on and off, and then I just saw the big sign. So anyway, we're back, and thank you so much for those people that have hung around.
So should we take some questions, Susanna? Because they don't know what we were talking
about. Well, I will. Yeah, what I will do, again, just press star two if you have any questions at all. We're going to just keep diving into the relationships part, though, Belinda. So we just spoke about celibacy and that being a path to spirituality and why that works and why that doesn't work. And also the difference between bypassing these lower chakras and that sexual energy and not having to deal with it versus transmuting that sexual energy up the higher chakras. Is there any...
So my kind of like, if my 15-minute spiel, you want me to do it again, Susanna?
No, but maybe just touch on that, just that last part about... the difference between bypassing and not wanting to deal with those particular energies versus transmuting them.
Okay, so the question that was asked, in case people have missed that, was is, why do some people practice celibacy as a form of spiritual growth? You know, like, why do some people choose the celibate path? And one of the reasons that they choose the celibate path is that people are trying to overcome the temptations and the problems and the blockages in the lower chakras. Chakra one is about on earth. It's also about belonging to a community. And chakra one is also about biological urges. Chakra two is a factor. So chakra one is, you know, sex for procreation sake. Two is sex for enjoyment sake. Some people choose one of the reasons, some people passed, is that they're hoping to bypass the temptation of the lower chakras, because when we evolve spiritually, the energy has to move up into the higher chakras from the lower ones. So Susanna asked, what is bypassing versus transmuting? Like, if we bypass chakra one and two, can we just start working with the higher chakras and everything will work? Or do you have to actually transmute them? And I said, you have to transmute them. We all are on a process of ascension, and we all have to work with each one of the chakras. You can't with your heart chakra or your throat chakra, or you cannot become psychic in chakra six if you haven't had time with the lower chakras and you haven't balanced them. Does that answer your question, Susanna?
Yeah, that does. Yep. Thank you. So let's dive into this next question. And this one feels really personal, so I'm not going to give the name out. The question is, for the last year and a half, I've come to realize that I am more attracted to women than I am to men. And this is a woman who's actually asking the question. And I'm really struggling with this. I've hurt myself emotionally in rejection of this part of myself. How can I learn to love myself more and be completely accepting and embracing? I'm really scared of what my friends will think of me. And also, how can I draw a beautiful, loving relationship towards me?
Okay, so the focus for you, if I was answering the question, I'll just talk to a person personally now, Susanna, as if you were the person asking the question, yeah? And this is how I would answer it. For you, it's very important that you keep working those heart chakra muscles. You have a conflict about it. I know that you didn't pose the question, Susanna, but I'll talk as if the person will listen to this, and I'll talk as if I'm talking to them. So this is about, and if you've awoken to the fact that you're attracted to women and want to be with women, if you're fearing rejection or any type of wanting to unravel the cultural conditioning, it's chakra four stuff. The heart chakra is about unconditional love. So I found in most cases, if being gay, if a person feels cool about being psychic, if a person feels cool, you know, about being a tomboy, other people feel cool about it too. But it's bringing out awkwardness to it when we action or we get weird with it, that other people pick up on that and get weird with it back to us. So give an example. Most of my life I didn't really like being a psychic. I didn't have very nice experiences with it. When I first moved to Germany in my early 20s, whenever I'd get invited to places, people would ask me what I did. Now, this is 15 years ago, mind you. Do you know, a lot has happened in the past, you know, 7 years, and we're much more plugged in to it. But back then, I was young, and it was weird, whatever. And people would say to me, what do you do? And I'd answer somewhat awkwardly and shyly, I work as a... Most people's responses were, oh, that's so weird. I don't believe in any of that fortune-telling stuff. And I never worked as a fortune teller anyway. Or people would say, oh, my God, tell me all about my energy field. So the reactions I had weren't positive for me. I alienated. And I remember coming home one night and saying to my ex-husband, I feel I'm being treated like this about it. And he said, that's exactly right, Belinda. You feel weird about it, so other people feel weird. And it was one of those moments where I just had that moment of clarity, and I could really feel the pain of the rejection and of feeling weird and which my heart chakra. So I placed my hand over my heart chakra, and I said to myself, I completely accept it that I'm psychic. I just completely accept what I do. And from that day on, I can honestly say it has never bothered me how people felt about me or my occupation. And in about 85% of the cases, people were, wow, you're so grounded and so normal. Tell me more about psychism. People were respectful. People really wanted to hear about it. People weren't judgmental or critical. By working on my chakra, had accepted. I'd unconditionally loved myself and that part of myself. And nowadays, people want more and more of it. That's why I have an online school, and that's why we're having this. So all of you listening, if you have that internal, I am this, but I'm frightened to express it, you've really got to work the muscles and do, you know, your chakra cleanse meditation, love up the heart, because when you're cool with it, others.
Yeah, and I'll just share even my own personal experiences because, you know, yes, I was married to a man and then fell in love with a woman, and it was, you know, I had my own sexual awakening. And I would often get asked that question as well, like, wasn't, you know, how did people react or respond to that? And I never, ever received anything strange or funky from the outside world reflecting back at me because I was so cool with it. It was not, whilst I mean it was a big awakening, it just honestly deep down just felt like love, and it didn't matter if it was a man or a woman. And therefore, yeah, I wasn't having it reflected back at me. But then obviously there were some other people that were, and I couldn't quite get that either in those early days. But you've just explained that like really beautifully and easy. So again, if you have any questions for us, press star 2 and we would love to take them. There's a few of you on the line, and I don't know, I think I'd be the kind of person who's sitting back and going, no, just keep talking.
Well, I could say, hit me up, because people, you know, lots of emails every day, people saying, if I had the opportunity to ask Belinda something, and then my assistant has to say, I'm sorry, but you don't have the opportunity to ask Belinda something in person. So, I don't know, I would today and take the opportunity. Or maybe Susanna, we're just good at chatting.
We are covering some pretty big ground. But again, yes, it is very rare to be able to connect directly with Belinda. So, you know, no question is silly, or even if you feel like we've covered it already, just if there's something burning, press star 2 and you can join us.
Or maybe we're talking to ourselves again.
No, they're That's there. They are there. I have a message to say, yes, we can hear you. So let's talk about, you know, I mean, this is kind of relationships, except we're kind of shifting away from the romantic relationships, and now we're moving into, this question is actually specific to pregnancy and connecting in with my baby. So this, her name is Michelle, and she's interested in understanding how cleaning out my chakras and connecting to my higher self can help me during pregnancy and with connecting with my baby.
Oh my goodness, Michelle, I don't even know where to start with that question, because it benefits baby in so many ways that I don't even know where to start. But let's just start work by working up the chakra, shall we? Chakra 1. If your chakra 1 works properly, you feel at home in yourself, you feel at home in you, and everything that you feel, you're passing on to your baby. It's shown that whatever's going on in utero affects baby's emotions. Chakra 1 is rocking fit. Your baby is, and yourself, will have the sense of being at home, being nested, and belonging to a community. Chakra 2 is working properly. You are going to love the pregnancy, because you'll experience the magic of your baby growing inside you. You'll experience that magic of life when you're pregnant. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm pregnant, everything tasted so good and looked so good. It was such a heightened experience. So if your chakra 2 is working properly, and chakra ensure that you experience a magical life and make sure that you receive everything you desire. If your chakra 2 is working properly, you'll be deeply connected to your baby and to your body. Chakra 2 is also about feeling great as a woman. So you'll reduce the swelling and the enlarging and you'll feel good. Also, if chakra 2 is working properly, you will have enough money. Now, not just enough money, you live in abundance. Chakra 2 makes sure that working properly, you can buy everything you need for yourself. You can look after yourself in all those pampering ways that all of us women need when we are carrying another being. But you can also give the feelings of abundance and to your child. If your chakra 3 is working properly, your digestive system will be working properly. Lots of pregnant women have digestive issues. Things growing, we're full of different, and most women don't feel well. So we make sure the digestive system's strong. Also look for immunity. So if chakra 3 is working properly, you're going to feel good with a pregnancy. And you won't just chakra 3 working for you will also protect yourself. Chakra 3 is the bodyguard of our energy field. So if chakra 3 is working properly, we know how to emotionally and psychically set boundaries. We know how to look after ourselves and our children. Chakra 3 is the lioness who looks after her lion and as mom, energy to our children. They need to feel that we're going to seek to be reckoned with. If your chakra 4 is working properly, you will just pour love and adoration on me and you'll have a lot of self-love self. So I could write a whole book on how good chakra 4 is for and for moms, but that would be another time. Chakra 5. If your chakra 5 is working properly, you can clearly communicate to other people what you need. And that is during pregnancy and during those first couple of years. Pregnancy can be very overwhelming because our body, if you're a first-time mum, first have a baby, and you'll know this, Susanna, because you're a mum and I'm a mum and it's, you know, really challenging. When you first have a baby, you go from being a vessel for another being to giving birth to it to getting a couple of hours to both need it. I mean, I don't know about other mums, but those first 2 years were the most exhausting for me. If you're isn't working properly, we're not going to communicate what we need. And when we're carrying children and when we first bring children into the world, we have to get help. We can't do it by ourselves. If we try it ourselves, we suffer and our children suffer. So make sure that chakra is working properly to clearly communicate. Chakra 6, you need it working properly to intuitively and tap into the needs of your baby. No, the reason that I do a lot of the going on with was not because I'm good with kids, I wasn't, but not because I had any experience, it's because I tapped in intuitively. I would intuitively feel into her and see what she needed. And you need to make sure chakra 7 properly so that you feel connected and looked after. I know that was a very long answer, but for pregnant women, for yourself and your family, and for that lovely baby that you only benefit in hundreds of ways by looking after your chakras and by connecting with your higher self.
And I just love that this question's being asked because, you know, I was 21 when I was pregnant and I was nowhere near as awake or conscious as I was now. And that's been, you know, part of my journey. But I just imagine what it would be like, oh my God, to just kind of have a baby. I don't want to have any more children. Let me just put that out there. but yeah, just to have this heightened level of awareness and such a deep connection with my chakras and to also be, oh, just the idea of a baby. And I don't know, that kind of gets me a little excited and beautiful.
Well, it gets me excited too, Susanna, when we receive emails about how much the chakra cleanse meditation has helped pregnant women get well and overcome things like morning sickness or regain their energy levels or help them connect? I mean, a lot of pregnant women use those free white light healings I offer on Monday to do all of that good stuff too. And you know, we've had many people email and say, that white light helped me through the birth. And whenever pregnant women or mums come through my school, I'm absolutely thrilled, because if I had understood and I don't see that chakric health is the key to a marvelous life, that everything works if your chakras work, instantly.
Yeah.
I would have found it easy. But that's cool. I mean, that was only benefit. It only brings benefit.
Yeah, beautiful. Again, everybody, press star 2 if you have a question about anything. Belinda is here for you. I have, we're going to start transitioning into, this is around careers and work. And in particular, this is from Natasha, and her question is really about transition. And she's written quite a fair bit, so I'll kind of give you the backstory. But she's pretty much working a full-time job and transitioning into her dream job. And as she's doing this, she wants to know if you have any advice to prevent good old burnout and resentment. And there's an extra, there's a part two here. There's a part two. And she's also saying, and I've noticed lately that my throat chakra is feeling a little closed over. Does that mean something?
Okay, so just to be clear, the essence of her question is how you're taking on so I trans in full-time work in my desired.
Oh, you cut out there a fair bit. Can you just repeat that again for me, Belinda?
Just trying to understand the essence of her question. So in terms of the question, how to deal with doing two jobs at once until she transitions to her desired job?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And so then I'll add one bit. And there's a particular statement in here saying, I know that the money from this job is helping me move towards the direction of my dreams, but are there any tips to prevent burnout and resentment?
Okay. Burnout happens if too much. And burnout happens if we're working too hard. Now, you know, we're mums, Susanna, and there are times where we have to look after our children as well as do our full-time jobs and look after everything else we have to do. So there are cycles in life where things are more intense and we need to dig deep. However, when we're transitioning from a job that we no longer want into a job that we do want, we are feeling resentment towards having to be in the old place. I feel that Natasha really needs to accept where she's at. I get the sense from her question that she's experiencing burnout because she is resentful about having to be in the old job. And if she could accept that it is the way it is, and yes, she has to work more, I think that would probably take 85% of the frustration and the burnout out of it. And then that other 15%, she just has to dig deep and breathe until she transitions completely out of that into her new job. But there is a push to get out, and that's the frustration and the burnout that she's experiencing.
Yeah, and it's, I think, you know, in those situations, I've, there's an expression, kind of love the hell that you're in, but make sure there's a light at the end of the tunnel. So, you know, it's kind of, if you haven't kind of set that date to make that transition, it can feel like you're going to be there for a long, long time.
I agree with that. I think that definitely is the case too. But it also is the case, isn't it, Susanna, that we bring all this mental tiredness to it. You know, like people say to me often, I'm so tired by my job. And I say to them, really? Or do you just tell yourself that? Is it a thought pattern? You know, if we're going to talk about mindfulness and presence practicing, I mean, I notice it with myself. I'm you know, in the throes of production and recording for my school and redoing level one and the launching sequence. And I catch myself going, oh, this is so much. But when I actually go into that thought and look at what I need to do, it's not really so much. I'm telling myself it is. So when we're moving out of a job that we don't want and we're moving into something that we do want, yes, it's important to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we can free ourselves up from burnout and frustration and feeling tired by not thinking about how much work it is. I mean, I see it all the time. People say to me, I don't have time for your chakra cleanse meditation. And I'm like, it's 30 minutes in a day. But do not mentally into this, I don't have time, or time's precious, or we think so much, it's not so much to do. When actually, if we would really look at those thoughts and decide not to think that way anymore, we have more hours in the day. We're not as tired because we're not telling ourselves that we're tired anymore. We don't need as much sleep and we get so much more done. You know, I found with myself, I had like 50 to 60% more output, more capacity than I did before myself. I'm no longer going to believe any thoughts of I'm tired and it's too much. So that's just a statement I want to say in general, because we are caught up in that belief system. And if we free ourselves from it and deal well in the moment, actually we're tired because we're telling ourselves we are, not because it's our reality.
Yeah. And in regards to her noticing that her throat chakra has been feeling closed over, the question then is, you know, is this trying to tell me something? One, can you maybe describe a little bit, you know, what are some of the signs that someone would notice that their throat chakra is closed up, and what does this mean for them?
Well, they could either feel it physically. So they could feel a lump in the throat or a tension in the throat. Or a good way to detect the state of each one of your chakras is simply by feeling into the place the chakras are. But another way is to ask yourself the following question. Do I have problems clearly communicating what I need? Do I feel that I can get my unique voice? You know, am I free in my expression? And to get back to Natasha's question, she was saying, how can I deal with transitioning and not feel frustrated and burnt out? And I intuitively sensed that she just would really like to get out of that old job because her self-esteem is being crippled. And self-expression is being stifled and crippled, and that's a chakra 5 thing. So you, if you feel shut down, like you can't say how you feel, or if you can't have your own unique voice, if you don't speak up, you have a problem with your throat chakra, or if you have thyroid problems or issues, neck problems, anything in that region, throat chakra issue. I mean, it's so important to have the throat chakra working, because the basis of all solid relationships is the ability to communicate openly and honestly.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I'm aware that the hour is almost up. I don't think anyone's going to be asking those questions, but I feel like we covered so much tonight, and diverse topics too, and just so juicy. Oh my God. Thanks, Belinda. I can talk to you for hours.
Thank you, Susanna. That's sweet. Well, we were talking to ourselves for half an hour. Yeah. That's cool.
And
we were enjoying it, weren't we? You and
yeah.
I were enjoying it.
And fingers crossed I've been able to save the whole recording, which I think I have. But before we kind of wrap things up, obviously, you know, we're here together celebrating another enrollment time for School of the Modern Mystic. And for those of you who do not know what that is, Belinda, can you just share briefly what this school is? And I just want to say personally, for someone who's been working with Belinda for, I think the first time I started working with her, it's been nearly 12 months or maybe even a little longer. It has, yeah, it was August, like 2012. So Yeah, it's nearly 18 months. I mean, I adore Belinda. She is not only probably the best when it comes to being a medical intuitive, but also she's a great teacher. And when I got to have a little sneak peek behind the scenes and what she is providing in the School of the Modern Mystic, I couldn't help but like, Belinda, this is fucking awesome. This is so comprehensive and so practical. And I love that you say, you know, whilst you're extremely psychic, there is not a woo-woo part in your body, and there isn't at all. Like, everything you teach is very, very practical and very, very profound and very, very transformative. So just share a little bit about what this school is, how long the journey is, and anything else you feel called that these people would need to know right now.
The aim of the School of the Mystic is to show people how they can become modern mystics. And what I mean by that is that we are all psychic. We all are able to heal ourselves and others, and we can all discover our true soul's vocation, our true soul's purpose. And I founded the School of the Modern Mystic because I wanted to teach people how to do this work for themselves. I started working as a medical intuitive when I was 19, so I've been doing it for over 16 years. And these were the burning inquiries that people always had. They said, Belinda, how can I become psychic like you? How can I get in touch with my intuition like you? How can I heal myself? You know, how am I energetically designed? Like, you read energy fields, what are chakras? They also wanted to know their soul's purpose. So I decided, instead of doing one-off sessions, I'm going to open a school, because I believe that being psychic or being a healer is not an exceptional gift. It's something that's obtainable for all of us. And so I founded this school to really show people how to change their life. You have to change your energy if you want to change your life. So how can you change your life and get all those aspects of your life working? How can you get finances? How can you clearly communicate relationships? But all of this stuff is tangible. So my whole philosophy is, let's get in, roll up our work. And that's what you mentioned before, Susanna. I am very psychic, a person I know, but I'm red. Not everyone likes that, but it is my energy. I like to get to the root cause of a problem and say, let's work on this. So the School of the Modern Mystic, level one, is a 6-week program. It actually takes place over 8 months because we have breaks. And it's like attending university for modern mystics or for witches. A lot of people say it's like Hogwarts, you know, with a bit of a modern flair. And I understand, you know, why they can think that. And when people come into the school, they learn all about the chakras. They learn how to get their life to work. They learn how to change their energy. And then they learn how to work with the white light so that they... Yes, and that was your favorite module, wasn't it, Susanna? How to match a soul... level
light
with the white light.
Oh my god, yeah. I definitely want to say, you're like, I've read quite a few manifesting books, and you know, I've heard quite a bit, and it was just like two videos, like those two videos alone were so powerful when it came to, yeah, using the white light and manifesting. And again, like I said, it was just so practical.
Yeah, and that's what I do. So I take all of the highbrow, all of the, you know, oh, the spiritual better than now kind of guru, mysticism, superstition, all of that out of it. And I say, hey, you can do this too. This is how you do it. So it is it's like going to university. We have lectures, which are online presentations. We have tutorials. We have group time. You get to interact with other people during the course. It's a program. I mean, it's an intensive training. It's not for the faint-hearted. This is not a program that you kind of listen to and read a little bit about. This is an absolute change your life. So I want people in my school that will come in that really want to change their lives and that will do the work, because we do the work, don't we, Susanna? I mean, I get my people to do the work. This is in training, but it's not overwhelming. We make sure it's doable. You have 2 to 3 hours of homework or, you know, course time a week, but it really does bring great results. And that's what I'm about, making Smarty real and doable for people so that they can change their lives. Because we spend so much time reading about spiritual, you know, we got to do about it to change our lives. And that's what my school is dedicated to, people who want to change their lives, want to heal themselves and others, become psychic and discover their soul purpose.
Yeah, and I do want to add as well for everybody that it's like, yes, I love that it's a long-term program, because really sustainable change takes a long time. This isn't something you're going to do in quick 8 weeks and here's everything. There's a real integration period, but not just that, you know, after level one, yes, there's level two. The training continues.
The training continues, yes. Yeah. And we have coaches in the school that help you through. Like, we know it's a longer program than a lot of people are used to, but we help you do it. You know, we help you through the program. And like you said, you can't teach someone to change their life in an 8-week online course. You know, like, this is, you've got to do it for quite a while. But we know how to get you those results, but you got to do the work, and that's my philosophy. I'll meet you halfway. I'll give you all I can in terms of my knowledge and my expertise and my energetic support, because I energetically support people through it, through white light healing intensives and so white light treats, and also through the white light. But you've got to meet me halfway. You know, you've got to do your work too, and together they can change your life. So yeah, it's for the pioneering types that are ready to take their life to the next level.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us tonight, Belinda. And I hope everybody who is listening, and even those that were probably online in the webcast, as those people are unable to ask questions as well, and for those listening to the recording, I hope you found this really useful. And that's it from us tonight. So thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. It was a pleasure. I always enjoy my time with you. And thank you for all the listening in.
Beautiful. Good night, everybody.